That's your friend John Walden, Colorado Springs. I'd like to continue our studies in the Gospel as revealed in the various epistles of the New Testament. Just now, we'll turn to Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. God used this book, especially chapter 2, to bring me to see my need of a Savior and to trust Him over 50 years ago, and it's still good. I love to tell the gospel out from the book of Ephesians. The book begins, first of all, the salutation, verses 1 and 2, and then he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." God has given us everything that his loving heart could devise. And then he lists 9 very wonderful blessings here. And one of these blessings is given to us in verse 12 of the first chapter. He's talking about his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The gospel of your salvation. Now we've noticed in past studies that the content of the gospel is given in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, then, is the good news which is to be preached to sinners far and near of all kinds in order that we might have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, as verse 7 of our chapter says. Now the gospel in the book of Ephesians goes a little wider than it does in other places. This is more what Paul calls in 2 Timothy 2:8, my gospel. Here in this same book, the last chapter in verse 14, he calls it the mystery of the gospel. That is the gospel in its widest scope. The gospel that not only redeems guilty sinners from hell, but brings us into all the blessing that God's loving heart had devised for us. These are called the promise in Christ in chapter 3 and verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The promise in Christ by the gospel is to bring us into all of the blessing that God has for us in the present day, uniting us together and making us members of the body of Christ. Now, this is what you have in the book of Ephesians. In Romans, he begins by telling us what sinners we are, and then, having established our need, he proceeds to talk about what God has for us, his remedy. But Ephesians begins with God's sovereign grace and his great plan, and then shows us how very unworthy we are to be so blessed. The second chapter of Ephesians tells us what we were. He says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." There's nothing more hopeless than for a dead sinner to try to please God, or than for someone in Christian work, so-called, in church work, to try to get a dead sinner to please God. What a hopeless business. The thing to do is to show them what the Word of God says, that they are dead and that they need to be born again. They need to be brought to Christ. Now, he tells us what we were like in verse 2, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world," just went like other people, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So we were led by Satan. among whom also, that is, the children of disobedience, among them also we all had our conversation, or our way of living in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Some people do very base kind of sins, and others are more refined, more the desires of the mind. But we were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Again, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't that a wonderful story? Isn't that wonderful news? God is offering us all the blessings that he has for us by grace. That means gratis, free. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Well, of course we believe in good works, but let's keep them where they belong. They're the result of salvation, and not the means of obtaining salvation. Sometime when you have the time, go through the first chapter of Ephesians and notice these very wonderful blessings that God has given to us. A.C. Gabelein, in his excellent study on Ephesians, lists them in three sets of three. The first three, the Father does for us. Chooses us in verse 4, and places us as sons in verse 5, and makes us accepted in the Beloved One, his Son, in verse 6. Then the Son does something very wonderful for us. He redeems us by his blood in verse 7. He lets us in on all his plans. The mystery of his will means his plans in this present age in verse 9. And then we have an inheritance in him in verse 11. Then we have three blessings through the Holy Spirit. He led us to believe. It was through him that we heard the gospel and believed. And then we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Those are both in verse 13. And in verse 14, we're told that this is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That is, we have a little sample of what we're going to have when the Lord comes back and takes us home to be with himself. My, you'll find yourself rich if you just learn to appreciate and enjoy these blessings that he has for us. Now, according to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter in verses 22-23, the church is his own body. Now, this is a new revelation, chapter 3 tells us, was never known before. He has created something brand new. This is not Judaism carried over, but a new thing began on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came down and a new body was formed, and we're part of that body. The first chapter is a prayer. Last part of the first chapter is a prayer that we might know what God has for us and is addressed to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. The third chapter is a prayer that we might enjoy what we have, and it's addressed to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same person, of course, but in a different character. Now, the sixth chapter tells us that we have a warfare in order to possess these things. This corresponds to what you have in the book of Joshua. The children of Israel were led into the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan isn't heaven. Canaan is the enjoyment of the blessings that God has for us. For Israel, he had earthly blessings. For us, as believers, he has spiritual blessings. Something wrong with a Christian who is occupied with temporal things constantly, and who thinks that God is blessing him because he has plenty to eat and good clothes. I'm thankful for these things if God sees fit to give them to us, but remember that the godly Apostle Paul said he knew how to be hungry and that he was sometimes naked. He never had what he needed here on this earth, but we are rich in Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Now, the fruits of the gospel in the book of Ephesians, then, the first three chapters give us the doctrine and the last three give us the practical walk of a believer. The blessings are these. We are to be to the praise of his glory. We are to be humble, we are to be united, we are to grow up, to be mature, we're to put off certain things and put on certain things. These are given to us in chapter 4. We're to be liberal Christians in our giving. We're to have the right kind of speech. We're to walk in love and walk in light. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And we're to have right family and business relations. These are given in chapter 5 and 6. Husband and wife are to get along well with each other, and children are to be obedient. And servants are to serve their masters well, and masters are to be kind to their servants. All of this because we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. This is what God produces. He doesn't say, now, if you'll do all these things, I'll trade you salvation for it. But he says, if you will accept my salvation, I'll produce these things in your heart and in your life. And at the close of this book, he tells us that we have armor to help us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, Satan can't keep you from being saved, and he can't ever make you lose your salvation, but he can spoil your enjoyment of it. And so we have armor to wear that will enable us to go on and enjoy what we have in Christ. You see, these Corinthians did not always continue to enjoy what they had, because there's another letter written to the Corinthians in the second chapter of the Revelation, written some 30 or 35 years after this one. And there he says, I have something against you. You've left your first love. They had gotten cold in heart. They were not enjoying the Lord Jesus, nor what the Lord had given to them. Now God has blessed us richly in the gospel. Through the gospel he has made us partakers of all of his own riches. And we as Christians are responsible to go in and possess our possessions, and then to live like those who are redeemed. Our Father, we ask you to bless these thoughts to us. Save the lost, we pray, and encourage and help thy dear children. In Jesus' name, amen.